are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
This morning, I want you to open your Bible with me in the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 to 15. And in this passage, I will see with you the biblical salvation. You know, there are many religions in this world. There's Shintoism, Buddhism, Islam, even Voodoo. But most religions have one thing in common. They present a work base of salvation, a humanistic way to heaven. If you give everything to the poor, if you give your money to the poor, if you pray five times a day, God is a good God. He will take you to heaven. This is a humanistic way of salvation, a work-based salvation. Because I do this, because I give this to the needy, God will give me eternal life. That is what they have in common. But Christianity presents something different. Christianity presents Jesus Christ as the one in whom we must believe to have eternal life. We don't need to work something or to do something or to pray five times a day or we have to give everything to the poor. No. Christianity presents Jesus Christ as the exclusive way to heaven. And apart from Him, there is no salvation. That means your work, your good works, your everything you do will never give you the opportunity to go to heaven, but Christ alone. And many passages in the Bible present this biblical salvation. And I'm going to read one passage. It is in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 14. And let me read for you. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Here is the word of faith. That if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart, in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now Paul is explaining, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whoever believes on him will not put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now Paul is giving a series of rhetorical questions. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And I want you to stop here. When we talk about biblical salvation, there are three words that we must see. And those words are present here in this passage. And the first word is confession or to confess. And the second one is belief or to believe. And the third one is to call on or call upon. When you confess something, what do? You say the same thing about an object or a person. You declare a fact. You acknowledge a fact about anything or a person. For instance, this microphone is a black microphone. If you say this microphone is a white microphone, that's not a confession, because that's not a fact about it. You do not acknowledge the fact about that microphone. It is a black microphone. That is a confession. What about belief? Belief is a heart conviction. You trust in something or in a person. When you travel from here, from New York to Miami or to Chicago, that's where I drove from, to here, from Chicago to here. If you knew in advance, when you take an airplane, if you knew in advance that as soon as you take an airplane and it's going to crash, would you still take that airplane? No. And yet you take it. Why? It's because you have a hard conviction. You believe that this airplane will carry you to your final destination. And when you drive 70, 80 miles, of course, not in New York. You can drive 80 miles here. But I was driving in Mississippi and Texas, 80 miles per hour legally. I was so happy to drive 80 miles per hour. Yeah, that was my first time legally. But you know, when I was driving, there was no fear in my heart. Why? Because I believed in something. But what was the object of my faith? I believed in my brake. I believed that as soon as I want the car to stop for me, I'm going to press the brake and the brake will work. And it did work. It's a hard conviction. I didn't care to drive 80 miles. So when we talk about biblical salvation, we have to see this word. We have to see confession. We have to see belief. But belief in who or in what? And that is why I'm seeing with you the necessity of biblical salvation. So when we talk about biblical salvation, we see Jesus Christ. Because biblical salvation is the only means we can go to heaven. That means Jesus Christ is the salvation of God to humankind. So when we talk about biblical salvation, we see it is necessary to believe in the Lord, the necessity of Jesus Christ. See the verse. If you confess who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It is necessary that we believe or we confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That is, he's the supreme one. He's over everything. He has the authority over everything. And in the same verse, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it is necessary that we believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's not optional. We have to. The whole world must believe in Jesus Christ. The whole world must confess Jesus Christ. American people, Haitian people, Indian people, Chinese people, Russian people, Jews must believe, must confess Jesus Christ as Lord for salvation. You know, something can be important, but not necessary. Can someone live without an eye? Of course, that is important to keep you in existence. But can someone live without a foot? Of course. Can someone live without some teeth? My father is almost 79. He lost some, but he's still alive. So a tooth is important for him to eat and to do other things, to speak. But a tooth is not necessary to keep him in existence. But can you live without the heart? The brain, you're dead. You're no longer in existence. That means your heart is necessary to keep you in existence. So when we say something is necessary, what do we say? We say it is sine qua non, indispensable, unavoidable, inevitable. So Jesus Christ in biblical salvation is sine qua non, indispensable, unavoidable, inevitable. Jesus Christ is necessary. The whole world must confess him as Lord, must believe that God raised him from the dead. Paul didn't say, if you give everything to the poor, you will be saved. No. He said, if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Savior, as the King, if you believe that God raised him from the dead. So we see the necessity of Jesus Christ in biblical salvation. It's so clear in the verse. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what is the result? You will be saved. You keep saying, why do I say thou? Because I've been using KJV a lot. Don't you hear sometimes people saying, talk to me about Jesus, about God, but don't talk to me about your Jesus Christ. Or I'm going to heaven because I believe in God, but stay away with your Jesus. I don't want to hear about it. Don't you hear that sometimes? I used to witness a lot. That was my main ministry. And when I share the gospel with people, many people tell me that. Stay away with your Jesus Christ. Talk to me about God. But let me tell you, those people who speak like that are people who are perishing. They are people on the verge to hell. They are going to hell. Because it is clear in the Bible, John says, how can you get the Father without the Son? And Jesus makes an exclusive statement. He says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. What does he say? I am the exclusive life. I am the exclusive way to go to heaven. That means there is no other way. There are no other options. The only one. And no one comes to the Father except by me. And now, how can people say that, hey, I'm going to heaven, or talk to me about God, but stay away with your Jesus Christ? There is no heaven without Jesus Christ. In order for you to go to heaven, you have to get saved. But get saved through who? Through Jesus Christ. So we must believe in him. We must confess him because he is necessary, indispensable in biblical salvation. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read it. There is no other way, name that was given under the heaven by which we can get saved. The name of Jesus Christ alone. We must confess him. My brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is for you and I who confess this name and believe in Jesus Christ. We see the necessity of biblical salvation of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to see the availability of biblical salvation in that verse. As you're reading this passage, you see, Paul is using you, and whoever. What Paul is saying here, if you're reading this book, Paul is arguing that the whole world is under sin. Either the Jew or the Greek. Greek represents the Gentiles, us. We are all under sin. And the fact that we are in the same basket, the sinful basket, we have the same condition, we have the same condemnation. God, in his mercy, offers salvation to all in the same way, in the same manner, through Jesus Christ. And we see it in verse 10. I can read it from verse 10. For with the heart, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Why? For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever, I want to underline this point, whoever. Paul is not saying that only you Jews, if you believe in Christ, you'll be saved. No. Paul is not saying salvation is available only to the Jews or only to the Gentiles. No. Paul is saying that salvation, this biblical salvation, this Jesus Christ, is available to the whole world. That is why he's using an indefinite pronoun. Whoever believes, not only the Jews, the whole world, because the whole world is under sin. And Jesus Christ is the only solution to that problem. So this salvation is available to the whole world, to the Haitian people. And right now, just as you come here to praise the Lord, there are many Haitians who are going to many places, voodoo places, to worship the devil. But do you know this salvation is available to them as well? Because this salvation is available to the whole world. It's available to you if you are here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's available to you as well. Paul here is not preaching universalism. Some people believe that God is a good God. Eventually, he will not send anyone to hell. The whole world will be saved. God didn't say that. Paul didn't say that. Paul is telling us we are all sinners, but God is a good God. He offers Jesus Christ. In him alone, you can get saved. Because Paul is saying that if you confess him, if you believe him, you will be saved. The implication is if you do not confess him, if you do not believe in him, you will not be saved. But this salvation is available to you right now if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But do not believe that you will be saved even if you do not trust in him. So this biblical salvation is necessary because without him, there is no other way to go to heaven. And this biblical salvation is available to the whole world. Now I want you to see with me in this passage the faith in biblical salvation, or the result of believing, of confessing Jesus Christ. Go back with me in the same passage in verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, what is the result? You will be saved. And the other verse, whoever believes on him, what is the result? Will not be put to shame. Verse 13, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what is the result? Shall be saved. But I wanted to see another result in verse 10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. These are results. Salvation is not a result of, biblical salvation is not a result of good works, but trust in Christ alone. And that is exactly what Paul is saying. If you confess him, you believe him, you will have eternal life. You will be saved. I used to witness a lot in Haiti. And there was a time I met a pastor. He said, well, salvation or biblical salvation is just like someone who goes to school. And he studies a lot. And at the end of the day of the semester, he passed an exam. If he passes that exam, he will move to another class. This is what he said. And that's the analogy he used to explain biblical salvation. And I said, well, I understand what you say, but could you show it to me in the Bible, what you just said? I knew what I said because I knew he couldn't show it to me. I said, could you show it to me? Could you prove it to me? He couldn't prove it. Because salvation is a result of faith in Christ. We haven't done anything. And Paul said, if it was by works, grace is no longer grace. So the result of confessing Jesus Christ, the result of believing in him, is salvation. The hope of seeing him face to face, the hope of going to heaven. If you stay here today, if you are here and you're singing, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven, it's because one day you place your faith in Christ, you believe in him, you have eternal life. And when Paul says, believeth unto righteousness, what Paul is saying here, in order for people, for the world, for sinners to go to heaven, they must reach God's bar of righteousness. Who can reach God's bar of righteousness? A parent can have a set of rules, and they will tell you, don't do this, don't do that. You follow your parents. I remember when I was growing up, they used to tell me, I have to call older men uncle, and older ladies auntie, and don't fight. Many rules. And I, by God's grace, I followed many of them. But it doesn't mean I was perfect. But let's say that I was perfect. I am a good child. I reach God's bar of righteousness. My parents' bar of righteousness. But now we come to God, the perfect one, who can reach God's bar of righteousness? No one. So in order for you to go to heaven, you have to be righteous. And now you cannot reach God's bar of righteousness. You are in trouble. You cannot go to heaven. So what Paul is saying here, in order for you to go to heaven, you have to be righteous. And that righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone. So by confessing him, by believing him, his righteousness is granted to you. So his righteousness is a result of believing, of confessing in Jesus Christ. That's the only way people can go to heaven, through Christ's righteousness in us. And it's a confession unto salvation. We confess him as Lord. We believe him. That produces salvation. And we explain it when we use salvation is as if someone who is drowning in the ocean. And that person calls, help, help, help. And the one who's passing by and comes quickly to rescue that perishing person. And the one who rescues the perishing person, he is the rescuer. He is the savior. What does it give to the perishing person? Rescue. Salvation. This is exactly what Paul is saying here. We were perishing in our sin. Our destination was hell. God's wrath was upon us. We were enemy of God. But God in his mercy sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And when we call upon his name, he comes. He rescues us. He gives us salvation. And that is why we are singing, hallelujah, what a great salvation. Hallelujah, what a great savior. Why? It's because Jesus Christ came to rescue us from going to hell. Jesus Christ saves us from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ reconciles us with God. We were like that with God. But when he comes, we are like this with God. This is exactly what Paul is saying. We have salvation. We are rescued from God's judgment, from eternal wrath. What a blessing it is for you and I to know that we are rescued, that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have countless reasons to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, and to give thanks to the Lord. But we have a higher reason to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him. And this higher reason is our salvation. What is your destination without Christ? If you die right now without Christ, what's your destination? Is hell. Forever. But God rescue you from going to hell. You have that salvation. Hallelujah. You are saved. We have reason to praise Him. Of course, we have to thank Him for the daily food, daily protection, for everything He has done for us. Every day we have to. But I want you to think. Do unsaved people have a car? A house? Do they go to school? Of course. That's a common good among us, the humankind. We all have this thing. We all can drive. We can go all over, everywhere in the world. We all have money. We all have everything. But we have something that they don't have. And that is the highest thing, the greatest thing, our great salvation, our hope of seeing Christ face to face, our hope of going to heaven. The unbelievers don't have that. Yes, we live in the same house with them. Yes, we have the same car. We drive the same car. We have everything they have, the same level of education. Yes, but the word of God says, what will it profit for a man to have the whole world and you lose your life? You have that life. You have that life. But these people, they don't have. They have all these things, of the earthly things, material things, but they don't have this. But you have it. You have to praise the Lord. You have to praise Him. Thank Him for that. Yes, we are in a Sunday or in a moment where we are celebrating Thanksgiving. We are praising the Lord for what He has done, for who He is. This one is the highest one. Because there is no comparison to our salvation. What is higher than that? Nothing else. What a blessing we have to know Him. What a blessing we have to know that salvation. And we can sing with joy, hallelujah, I am saved. Unbelievers cannot understand that, but you understand it. You know the joy. I can say, praise the Lord. I am not a voodoo priest. I can say, praise the Lord. I am saved. Unsaved people, they can say, yes, we know there is a God. We know, if they believe that, but they will say, we have things. We have to be thankful. Most of the time, the thankfulness has no object. Our object is God. This biblical salvation must lead us to praise the Lord. This biblical salvation must lead us to exalt Him. But I want you to understand something. As we are praising the Lord, as we are elevating Him, as we are so grateful, we must understand that those who are perishing, God wants them to praise Him too because of salvation. But they don't have that salvation. But how can they come to Christ? And this is exactly what Paul is saying in verse 14 and 15. Paul is giving here a series of rhetorical questions. Verse 14. From verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul said, yes, anyone And that person, well, how can they call if they don't know anything about that person? If they never hear about that person? So in order for us to better understand this passage, let's invert it to get it right. There must be sender. And the first sender is God the Father, who sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus says in John 20, 20, 21, 23, as my Father sent me, so I send you. Not only Jesus, God sent, Jesus also sends people. I send you. In Acts 13, verse 3, 4, we see the Holy Spirit sends the church, people, to go out to share the gospel. And the church is commanded to send people out with one purpose, to share the saving word of Jesus Christ. When we share the gospel, people hear. And when they hear, they have two answers, two responses. Either they receive, or either they believe or they reject Jesus Christ. And those who believe in him will call upon his name for salvation. And this is exactly what Paul is saying. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But there must be sender. And there must be one who proclaims the gospel. Why? So that people can hear about Christ. And when they hear about Christ, they will call upon the name of Jesus Christ. So who's going to reach the unsaved people? Do you think God will use the pews or a stone to speak for him? Of course he is God. He's not limited. He can do that. But he's not telling us that he's going to do that. He's telling us, he's using us, you, we as Christians, to go out to share that saving word to the world. Now you can say, well, I don't know where to find sinners to share the gospel. I would say, well, you're in a big city like New York. You can find a lot of sinners. Or if you can find anyone in New York, you can go to LA, Las Vegas, Chicago, all these places to find sinners to share the word of God with them. You have to go. But let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, you don't need to go to LA, to New York, downtown New York, or another big cities. Of course, we are called to go there. You don't even need to go to your neighborhood. Of course, we are called to go. I want you to understand my logic here. You don't even need to go to your neighbor next door. Of course, we have to go. But let's go right here inside your house. This house, you will find sinners. Maybe your brother, your sister, your mom, your son, your granddaughter. They don't know the Lord. But do you know if they die without Christ, they will go to hell? God wants to rescue them. And he is using only one method. This method is Jesus Christ, the gospel. And he's using you, me, to go out to share that gospel. Would you be God's agent to reach these people with the gospel? Be part of biblical salvation. You can go to these big cities, but I want you to go right now to your house. Think about your house. People who don't know the Lord. They cannot call upon the name of the Lord. They cannot praise the Lord for salvation. Most of them don't hear the gospel. But God wants to use you tonight, this morning, to share the gospel. The biblical salvation, and that biblical salvation, Jesus Christ, is the exclusive way, the exclusive method to heaven. Jesus Christ is indispensable. And the salvation is available to the whole world. And faith is required in him for that salvation, biblical salvation. If you don't know him, would you come to him today? You will be able to say, praise the Lord for the great salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest gift, the gift of
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to worship with us on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, followed by a luncheon and an uplifting time of interactive Bible study for teenagers and adults after that. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministry that also occurs in the afternoon session. If you have any questions about the church or would like to learn more about how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.